Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
We talked about it last week a little bit, Lawrence. You know, Dan was on vacation and all that. But when you were there last week working, we talked about how...
I had to throw that in there.
Fight me, Bowen.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and the most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let Matt Bowen talk. Shut up.
This segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. The Bernstein and Holmes show, Marshall Harris is in for Lawrence today as we are sitting outside on Lake Street, 670 The Score, broadcasting live here in Lake Street Plaza at Prue. Thanks to our friends at Circa Sports Illinois. In just a little bit, Circa Sports Illinois will be bringing merch for customers to download the app and deposit. There are food trucks and games and footballs flying through the air, so all fun stuff. Matt Bowen, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, Matt, I'm a little curious as to your level of belief that the Bears' offensive woes can be fixed this quickly for this high quality of an opponent.
I think you can make definite corrections, Dan. There's no doubt about that. Now, can you come back this week and put 35, 40 points on the board? I don't think you should believe that, but you can see more. Just basic stuff. Extending drives, right? One of the big narratives coming out of that game in week one is, well, Tennessee had the ball, right? Complete ball control. Well, that happens when you can't get first downs. You know, so where does that start? The third down passing game. What can we do to make corrections there against a team in Houston that is going to be more zone heavy at times? A lot of split safety coverage. How can we attack split safety coverage this week? How can we utilize the tight end position? Cole Kmet has to be a big part of the game plan this week, in my opinion, especially working the middle of the field versus those zone coverage. And with the quarterback, just get them to slow down a little bit. And you saw this with all the young quarterbacks this weekend. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Their internal clock was moving too fast at times. And at times that forces you to play frenetically, both with footwork and with your eyes. And I think you can get Caleb in better situations, especially in those critical downs, where he has leveled reads, where he can get the ball out quickly. We can ID a positive matchup based on formation alignment and what you've seen in terms of defensive tendencies. They give him a clear and defined read where he can slow down, make the throw, move the sticks.
Matt, when you look at this offense, because that's what we're all paying attention to. I mean, the defense, no one's got any qualms with the way they played last week. But if there is no Rome Odunze, let's say there is no Keenan Allen, what can they do to maximize what they do have available to them if that's the case?
I think, Marshall's a great question, and obviously, my first answer is to run the football. Okay, we didn't see enough of that last week. And I know the term established a run game gets overplayed, but can you have more efficiency, more production running the football? Can you start to mirror your run and pass game together? Because I'm telling you, that's what you're going to see from Houston on Sunday night with Bobby Sloak, their offensive coordinator. Everything looks the same. Outside zone, looks like play action pass at the same time. Can you start to blend those two together, your run and your pass game? Get more production. Create more manageable down and distance situations. And also utilize the running backs more in the pass game. Can you take a player like DeAndre Swift and move him outside to a slot alignment? Can you take Cole Kmet playing off that, flex him outside if you don't have a Dune Zane or if you have Keenan Allen, who's not at 100%. You have to find more ways to manufacture production when you have injuries. My first answer is to go back to the run game.
The Brian Billick doctrine is run away from strength, run at speed. Last week, they faced a team in the Titans with two big, nasty guys in the middle of that defense, and now it's much more so on the edges. Yeah. How does that affect the plan in the run game that you want?
Well, I think you run more inside zone. That's what I would do. More inside zone, more gap, downhill gap concepts, where you can attack the interior of the Houston defensive front. Because I agree with you, what they have on the edges is much different than you saw in Houston with Tennessee last week. But I do think that's a part of it, Dan, but also the screen game. When you have edge rushers that can get upfield, that can create pocket disruption with their first step off the football, you have to get the screen game going as well. I'm not talking about the wide receiver screens. I'm talking about the running back screens. That's one way to attack speed, right? When you have speed in the edges, obviously draw is an answer, but it's usually the screen game. So it's another way, like we're talking about, to get the running backs more involved.
I will be a little bit surprised if we see Velus Jones Jr. out there on Sunday. Will you, Matt?
Yes, I would be surprised, because you just can't put the football on the ground. You just can't do that, not in special teams. And look, the Bears special teams outside of that play were that won the football game. Okay, the kick return they had, the block punt, scoop and score for a touchdown, that won the football game for them. And it's something I was thinking about before I came on, guys. And I heard this a long time ago when I was a player at Iowa from Norm Parker, our former defense coordinator, who's now passed on. And Norm was outstanding, and he was a teacher too. And one thing he said that I've always thought of is never turn a win into a loss, right? Never turn a win into a loss. And I know we expected just this offensive explosion last week. We didn't see it, right? But we saw a team win a football game because they took the ball away on defense. They scored on defense. They scored on special teams. There's so many different ways to win a football game. But playing off of that, going back to your question there, you can't put the football on the ground. Not in this league when possessions are so limited at times. And when you turn the ball over on special teams and you give an offense a short field, you don't get many of those opportunities. So I would be surprised.
I was very impressed overall with not just the Bears' quality of tackling, which usually I sort of give a pass early in the season because of the lack of it that goes on in training camp and practices.
Sure.
Now. But the adjustments that Matt Eberflus made, you know, we had a recent guest, I think it was yesterday, just that said Matt Eberflus is an elite caller of a game, an elite game planner, and we're in an elite play caller as a defensive coordinator. Do you agree? Did you see him make those changes as the game went on? When did you see it change, and what did it do?
Well, I think one thing that, and Dan, I think we talked about this last year. If you go back to when Coach Eberflus was in Indianapolis, and you look at their coverage metrics and what they were, and everyone always points to cover three and cover two, the zone coverages, but they were pressure heavy at times. And I think that's one thing that Coach Eberflus does an excellent job of, when to call pressure. Because, Dan, you and I could stay on the sideline and say, let's blitz this play, right? Anyone can do that. But when do you do it? It has to be calculated. Why are you sending pressure? Is there a certain protection you can attack? Is there a certain player in protection you can attack? Does it come from the field side? Does it come from the boundary side? And ultimately, why are you calling the pressure? Do you believe in a certain coverage rotation and the ability to change the picture versus a young quarterback in Will Levis, okay, who, like we talked about, Dan, is a very aggressive throwing mentality and doesn't want to give up on plays. Okay, we saw what that led to late in the football game. But there's an art to calling defensive football. And there's an art to calling when to blitz and when to bring pressure and how to bring pressure. And I think that's one thing that Matt Eberflus does very well.
I look at this game, and I looked at it since the schedule came out, as a game that I didn't think the Bears were going to win, just on general principle of being on the road, rookie quarterback. We know what C.J. Stroud is and how good the Texans were last year. Is there a reason for me to look at this game, Matt, and not be okay with the fact that they could lose the game but be playing much better on offense and take solace? I know there's no moral victories, but in the course of a season, you need to have progress from your rookie quarterback. So is it bad that I'm okay with them taking the L but seeing Caleb Williams and the offense do way better than they did in game one?
No, I don't think so, Marshall, because you want to see progression, right? That's what you want to see. And there should be a jump from game one to game two and so on down the season. And even when you have steps backwards, because the young quarterbacks in this league are going to have down games somewhere in the middle of the season too. Can you then go forward the next week? So you do want to see progression offensively. You do want to see an offense win on third downs. You want to see an offense win inside the red zone, right, when they didn't last week. And those are the critical moments that win or lose football games. So can they execute better in the red zone? Can they execute more in third down? Can they create explosive plays? If you want to stay in the game versus Houston, you're going to have to create explosive plays in the pass game. There's no question about that. You have to. And you have to extend drives. Because look what Houston did last week against the Colts. They had 40 rushing attempts. C.J. Stroud had 32 passing attempts. That is complete ball control offense. And they are a different football team now with Joe Mixon at running back. They are different. That is an added dynamic to their football team that gives them a downhill runner with power on contact and can finish at the point of attack. I think that's what Bobby Slowik wants to be. He wants to be balanced. You know, coming from that San Francisco coaching tree, he wants to be balanced. They want to use misdirection. They want to use pre-snap movement. And they want to be in position where they completely control the tempo of the football game. So if you're going to compete with them, especially on the road on a national stage, you have to create explosives on the pass game with Caleb Williams.
Was Coleman Shelton bad because it was just a bad matchup against a really good interior, or was he bad because he's bad?
I think he had some rough moments. Obviously, the matchup is tough. That is, I think, one of the best defensive interiors in the NFL. Both in playing the run and their ability to push the pocket, right? But there's, even when you're in a negative matchup, technique still has to be there. Okay, your footwork still has to be there. Hand placement has to be there. Your leverage has to be there. And at times, I think that was poor in that football game. So, again, if you're looking for something to watch this week, even though the matchup isn't the same on the interior, are they better on the interior? Are they better in pass protection to where Caleb Williams doesn't have to escape pressure, doesn't have to work backwards, doesn't have to eject the pocket so quickly? Can they do those things? Can they make those corrections? Because last week, I'm just telling you, it simply was not good enough from a standpoint of professional football.
One of the reasons I do love this matchup, and I like the way that week one was like a lesser opponent than week two is going to be, you get to a different type of measuring stick. Everybody, of course, excited about what the defense displayed in the back half of last season against, you could say, lesser competition in a lot of those cases. And then in week one against, you know, Will Levis, who's still trying to find his way out of the mayonnaise. Now you've got C.J. Stroud. What is it that they can do to be more effective against the second-year quarterback than all these other teams have, who have had so many problems with him over the last season plus one game?
Well, I think C.J. Stroud, and when I watch C.J. Stroud play, the first thing I say about him is he has excellent poise. And we don't talk about that enough at the quarterback position. It's all about arm talent, movement traits, et cetera. The poise matters so much. He plays like a veteran. He is so calm inside the pocket. And when you watch him play, it reminds me of Joe Burrow. That's what I see, a timing and rhythm thrower that can anticipate windows, has great accelerated vision, and will move when he has to. But when he moves to be a thrower. So he will escape, work laterally to the line of scrimmage, and extend plays to throw the football. That's one area. You have to contain him. You have to keep him inside the pocket, right? Don't let him escape and extend plays to where he can work the ball to multiple levels of the field. I think you really have to squeeze windows because he is so good in anticipating where those windows are going to be. That means linebackers have to get to depth and be in position to drive laterally to get hands on the football. And in the secondary, you cannot give up the throws over the top because they're going to take their shots down the field. Nico Collins can work down the field. Stephon Diggs can work down the field. Tank Dell is absolutely electric. When he gets isolated, his sudden movement skills, he can take you vertically over the top. So there's just a couple things right there because he does play like a quarterback with so much more experience than he really has. And I think right now, if you're a young quarterback in this league, this rookie class, that's who you're going to be compared to moving forward.
Matt, something we talked about yesterday, where I'm not really sure there's a right answer, but it started making me feel weird to project sort of typical Bears football response on maybe a once-in-a-lifetime quarterbacking prospect to say, simplify things, make it easier on him, maybe not so many full-field reads off five-step drops, roll him out, have layered throws with half-field reads, and then I realized we're doing it again, and this was supposed to be someone so talented and so special that we didn't need to default to these well-worn sort of the comfy shoes of being a Bears fan of saying these things, because I thought we were done with this. Should we be, and should we keep all the stuff in there that tries to get the most out of his talent?
That's a great question, Dan. I kind of agree with you on some aspects here. I think you need to give young quarterbacks in September some easy throws to start football games, okay? You talked about rolling them out. It's okay to use some boot concepts, some sprint concepts. Give them some defined reads early in football game to build his confidence. But to your point, to see real growth and real progression, you need the full field reads, okay? You need to play the position like a veteran quarterback. And that's a progression throughout the season. When that fully happens, we don't know. But again, going into a game like this, Dan, cutting the field in half is not going to be enough, in my opinion. It's not. And Caleb Williams does have that ability, does have the traits, does have the football intelligence, does have the arm talent to work all levels of the field, to get to the backside read when he has to. We know he can do that. So it's just, Dan, when do you want to do that from a play-calling perspective? At what point of the season? Is it week two? Is it Sunday night? Is it the second quarter Sunday night? Or does it depend on game flow too? Or is it a situation where a young quarterback goes to a coordinator and tells him throughout a football game, I need more. I need more. I need to be in a position to attack the outside third of the field more. You know, give me those calls that put me in that position. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but I do believe he can do that, and I do believe that's ultimately where you want to get to this season.
Just the way we've all been talking about the Texans, I'm just curious as to your opinion. If I say fill in the blank and say the Texans are the blank best team in the NFL, what number would you give them right now?
I would say they're a top 10 team. And because of the talent on both sides of the ball, but especially the coaching. Especially the coaching. DeMeco Ryans is an excellent coach. An excellent leader for that organization. Now, Bobby Slowick, I knew Bobby Slowick when he was a little kid. So his dad was my DB coach in Green Bay. So Bobby Slowick has been around football his entire life. Okay? And you look at the coaches he's worked for and what he did last year from a play-calling perspective. He's someone that eventually I think will be talked about it or be in the discussion of being a head coach in the National Football League. So they have a great organization
Didn't he turn down some second interviews? I mean, there was a point where he decided he was happy where he was.
He did. He did. And, we don't know the reason for that, Dan, but I can say this. If I'm in his place and I'm looking at what I have coming back in Houston and what we can do offensively, and maybe this was the right fit for him in terms of those interviews, but there's no question they're going to be in a position again this year where they're probably going to be a playoff team. And he'll have more opportunities for that. But they are very well coached. It's the one thing you see right away when you turn the tape on Houston, how well coached they are, how disciplined they are.
Matt Bowen, thank you as always. Much appreciated. And look forward to talking again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
That is Matt Bowen, who joins us weekly to give us his unique perspective on the Bears and the NFL. I should mention, because I didn't before, that you can follow Matt Bowen on Twitter, at MattBowen41.
I just love listening to him talk about football.
I know.
That's the thing. Like, the way he speaks about the game is with such a...
It's matter of fact.
Yeah, it's matter of fact, but it's like, it's passionate, but it's not over the top. It's just like, hey... This is my opinion on this, and hey, I'm listening.
What did you say before about Caleb and authenticity?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know it when you hear it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And indeed, and you're lucky to hear Matt Bowen here at noon on Thursdays on Sports Radio 670. Next up, Jerry Reinsdorf released a statement.
Oh, my goodness. See, you just turned the tide right there.
My headline on it is, it would be absolutely galling if it weren't just sad. We'll talk about it next on The Score.